our Lord in what I'd like to call one of the actual Lord's prayers, praying to his Father in John chapter 17, saying, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me." The following statement has been attributed to the founder of the YMCA. He stated that the price we must pay for a divided Christianity is an unbelieving world. This statement definitely reflects the tenor of what Jesus expressed to his Father in the prayer in John chapter 17. We invite you to get your Bible at this time and turn with us to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read a few additional verses and some of the verses that were already read. Mark chapter 5, verse number 2. "When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Verse 15, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Now, as we think about this passage and this particular incident during the personal ministry of Christ, I want to call your attention to an Old Testament passage. 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. I want to read verses 25 and 26. 1 Kings 21, 25 and 26. "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Now you might wonder why then I read the Old Testament passage and what are my intentions with reference to the New Testament passage, and how can I exegetically tie these two passages together so that we can derive some meaningful lessons that we can apply to our lives. Oftentimes when an individual has had something strange or something negative or something destructive or something disturbing to happen to them, frequently mothers sitting at home, when a child of hers comes home and his clothes are dirty and his shirt is torn and his hair is messed up and his nose is bleeding and his eye has been blackened, the first thing that conscientious mother will usually ask that child, what in the world happened to you? Because it's very rare and very unusual that a child would make an appearance in this condition without something having happened to that child. You know, you have a lot of bullying going on in our schools these days and on the playground these days. And oftentimes, older kids and stronger kids will take advantage of younger kids. And there's been a new surge of bullying in our school systems all across the country. And so there are great occasions, numerous occasions, where parents and teachers can ask of students, boys and girls, what in the world happened to you? As significant, as relevant, and as meaningful as that question is, there's another question that periodically I think about that we can ask when we find people in certain conditions or having been the victims of various kinds of influence. That question is not what happened to you, but that question is who happened to you? With whom have you been in contact that has had this kind of impact on your life? With whom have you been in contact that has contributed to your present condition? Under whose influence have you been operating such that you are in the condition that you are in at this present time? I have a cousin who experienced an untimely demise. He died several years ago. And when I looked at his life and the dysfunctionality that characterized it, it could have been easily asked when we considered his problem drinking that eventually deteriorated into alcoholism. It could have been easily asked when considering the abusive treatment to which he subjected his wife. We could have very relevantly and meaningfully and practically asked him, and his name was Robert Lee. We could have asked Robert Lee, Robert Lee, who happened to you? How is it that you reach this particular stage of dysfunctionality in your life? How is it that you were reduced to perpetrating violence against your wife and against your children. And I know the answer to it. I know under whose influence he operated. I understand what forces came to bear in his life that played a significant contributing part in him turning out the way he turned out. When I ask Robert Lee, who happened to you? You know what his response could accurately have been? Who happened to you, Robert Lee? I'll tell you who happened to me. My daddy happened to me. You see, his daddy, Uncle James, he was an alcoholic. His daddy, Uncle James, perpetrated violence and behaved abusively toward his mother and toward his children. Uncle James chased us with a .22 rifle across the cotton field. Uncle James, when one of his sons was just an infant, put a shotgun on the boy. It's fortunate that he didn't pull the trigger, but that was the kind of life he lived. He operated under the influence of alcoholic beverage. It reminds us of the wise man Solomon says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So I understand that to a great degree, and I'm not trying to absolve my cousin of some of the responsibility, but to a great degree, he came under the negative influence of his father. So when we ask, who happened to you? He could just say simply, my daddy did. Correspondingly, we can ask figuratively, Ahab, king of Israel, of the northern tribes, Ahab, who in the world happened to you? Who influenced you negatively? Who caused you to do abominably? Who caused you to become steeped in idolatry? Who caused you to reject the God of glory and the God of Israel? And he could accurately respond to that question saying, I'll tell you who happened to me. Jezebel happened to me. That's who happened to me. Jezebel influenced me. Jezebel stirred me up. Jezebel impacted my life. Jezebel has been a contributing factor to my spiritual decline. She happened to me. It has been accurately stated that influence is the total effect of one's life upon others. And God has given us the ability, he has endowed us with the power to have either a negative influence and a negative impact on the lives of others, or on the other hand, he has endowed us with the ability to have a positive influence, a positive impact on the lives of others. Parents can have a positive influence on their children, like Lois and Eunice had on Timothy. From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. Paul was persuaded that the unfeigned faith that indwelt Lois and Eunice also dwelt in Timothy. You can ask Timothy, as he went about carrying out his ministry as an evangelist, as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, Timothy, tell me, who in the world happened to you? And he could easily have said, my grandmama happened to me. He could have easily and accurately stated and responded, my mama happened to me. And a lot of us can make that statement. Parents need never underestimate the power they possess to influence their children in meaningful, positive, spiritual ways. Don't tell me about all of the peer pressure. Don't tell me about all of the evil that's in the world. Don't tell me about the multimedia with which they are bombarded day in and day out. Don't tell me about the internet. Don't tell me about the iPods, and don't tell me about the cell phones, and don't tell me about classmates, and don't tell me about running buddies. Parents can override the negative influence exerted upon their children by being faithful, godly mothers and fathers and living exemplary lives before their children. Even in a wicked, perverse, and crooked world, you can rear successful, talented, contributing, respectful citizens in our society. You know, I've heard some people say, and you probably heard them say as well, we ought to encourage people not to have any children. I don't want to bring no children into this old wicked world. So much stuff is going on. There's so many evil influences. But I say hogwash. If anybody ever needed to have some children today and to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that time is now. We need godly young men and young women, and we're thankful for our teens here at Hart Street. We need young men and young women who have mothers and fathers who will make them toe the line, who will motivate them, who will encourage them, who will discipline them, who will set the proper example before them so that they can grow up and strive to do their best for the Lord and all the rest, and seek excellence in school and seek excellence in their professions. Parents have this power to exert this kind of influence and to have this kind of impact upon their children. And when those children are healthy, self-sufficient, well-functioning, outstanding, contributing citizens in their communities and in their workplaces, in their homes, and most importantly and significantly in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you ask the question of them, son, who happened to you? They can say, my mama did. Who happened to you? My daddy happened to me. My mama impacted my life. My daddy impacted my life. And that's not to say that mamas and daddies don't make some mistakes. That's not to say that mamas and daddies don't walk on feet of clay. But with the Lord's help and with the Lord's guidance through his word, we can have a powerful, lasting impact on the lives of our children. An impact that is commensurate with the impact that Jesus had on the wild man. This man had unclean spirits in Mark 5, which had hijacked his body and taken over the control of his faculties. He made his dwelling among the tombs. He hung out in the graveyard. He was possessed of superhuman strength, and no man could bind him, not with fetters or with chains. Day and night in the mountains and tombs, he cried out and engaged in self-destructive behavior. He was isolated from civilized humanity. He was out of his right mind, and he was disturbed. And the Bible says it was hard to keep clothes on him. The Bible says, furthermore, that no man could tame him. But when he came in touch with Jesus had a powerful and positive, indisputable impact upon this man. Jesus made a profound, lasting difference with this man. Now, after he came in contact with Jesus, he was sitting calmly in the presence of Jesus, his restlessness relieved, his erratic, eccentric behavior eradicated, his turmoil was tranquilized, his anxiety was ameliorated, his insanity was replaced by stability, sobriety, and soundness of mind. He was a new man, having been made over by the power of Jesus. He was clothed. He was now in his right mind. He had been transformed from a madman into a missionary. He prayed, he besought Jesus to allow him to go with Jesus. Jesus said, no, in essence, I understand and I think it's commendable that you want to be with me, and all of us want to spend as much time, we ought to want to spend as much time as possible with Jesus. But Jesus said, I don't want you to go with me at this time. I have a mission I want to send you on. I want you to go home and tell your friends what wonderful things I have done for you. What has Jesus done for you? What difference has Jesus made in your life? How has Jesus had a positive influence and a positive impact on your life? You could have asked the ex-wild man, who happened to you? And he could have responded accurately and pointedly by simply responding or replying, Jesus happened to me. This man, after coming into contact with Jesus, was no longer on a dangerous downward course, downward toward death and destruction, downward toward doom and despair, downward toward decay and depression, downward toward disbelief and destruction, downward toward darkness and disappointment. He was now a new man operating under the influence of Jesus. Jesus had now happened to him. And Jesus can also happen to you, and he can happen to you in an ongoing way. Don't forget that Jesus has the power to change your life. He has the power to completely transform your life. When worry grips you, when stress paralyzes you, when aggravations plague you and difficulties down you, and when resources fail you, when hardships hinder you, just remember that Jesus has the power to change you. Jesus can touch your life, inspire your hopes, direct your steps, satisfy your spirit, rekindle your fire, restore your zeal, bless your heart, sanctify your life, mend your marriage, lift your burdens, and dry your tears. And afterwards, when men ask you, when they inquire, who happened to you? You can respond by simply saying, Jesus happened to me. Jesus is willing to change you tonight, but he's not going to override your free moral agency. You have to willingly submit to him and allow him to bring about these positive changes in your life. If you're not yet a Christian, why not become one? You can become one this very evening through obedience to the gospel of Christ. Recognize that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. Recognize that he was taken down from the cross with loving and beneficent hands, placed in a borrowed tomb, but that he rose again on the third day, making your salvation and my salvation possible. Repent of your sins after believing this good news, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And in the process of baptism, you will be made new. You'll be completely new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I can ask you afterwards, who happened to you? And you simply respond like the ex-wild man could have responded, Jesus happened to me. If you're here and you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside, have lapsed into an unfortunate state of unfaithfulness, if you have trampled under calloused and insensitive feet the holy commandments of the Lord, why not resolve that you're going to rededicate your life to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer, and that you're going to do it even now while the blood runs warm in your veins, while it is yet called today? Will you come?
Jesus.